This podcast is part of the Deluxe Edition Network. To find other great shows on the network, head over to deluxeeditionnetwork.com. That's deluxeeditionnetwork.com.
Hello, this is Igoro, host of the Igoro Show. And you are listening to the Steve and Crypto Show. So keep your ears open and your mouth shut.
Hey, welcome to the Steve and Crypto Show, presented by thestevestrout.com. I'm Steve.
I'm CryptoZoo. You have made it to episode 140. How cool is that? I hope that you've been listening to every single one of them. We hope you've been listening to every single episode. And if not, if you're just jumping in now, we welcome you. We thank you for giving us a shot. And if you like what you hear and you want more content, if 140 episodes ain't enough and you just have to have more from your third favorite podcast, then you can head over to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/SteveCrypto. You can get movie spoilers there. You can find like concert reviews. You can hear board game talk, family outing discussions, just all kinds of different things. We try to venture out a little bit from what we do on the show. Of course, there's going to be some horror talk there, but we do our best to kind of just hit other avenues and try to
let you in,
show
on
you
lives.
A little bit. Yeah, show you a little bit of things we do and how we're living. I mean, we got to have a life to be able to have a show and things to talk about. So
I still don't have a life. So I need to get a life.
It's kind of nice to think of things to do so that we have something to talk about. Like, oh, I should go out this weekend and venture out. And then that's an episode to talk about on the show.
Like our whole life is not just the Steve and Crypto Show. It's other things we do. We want to share them with you.
Yeah.
And that's what Patreon's for.
Exactly. So you can go over there and contribute as little as $1 a month. And there's a good variety of content over there waiting for you. So go check it out. Patreon.com/SteveCrypto. And we just added some new items to our merch over at Etsy. So go to Etsy.com/shop/SteveCryptoMerch. Or you can just look up the Steve and Crypto Show. And you're going to find two t-shirt designs, a coffee mug, a magnet for your fridge. But wait, there's more. You're also going to find a couple tote bags, two different colors, I believe, and some coasters, correct?
Yeah, and yep. We have a hoodie on there now, too.
Yeah, we have a Steve and Crypto Show hoodie. If you are a Northwest kid like me and you wear hoodies all year long, you might want one. And even if not, get it now, and then you'll have it ready for when it starts getting cold.
Which could be where we live. It could be
next week.
15 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah.
The weather could change. Today was really warm and sunny, and tomorrow is supposed to be nice and cloudy and rainy and what I like to call normal.
Yeah, I call our stomping grounds the bipolar Northwest because it literally can give you like three different types of weather in one day around here. You never know.
Yeah. Yep. That's for dang sure.
Yeah.
So those are all the great ways. Some of the great ways. Not all of them.
Some.
There's more.
We'll give you a couple more later.
There's great ways to support the show and keep us going and keep us growing. And all the proceeds of all these, you know, Patreon and merch sales and stuff all go to getting new merch, upgrading equipment, getting us to shows and conventions, because we've been getting a lot of invites, so make sure you guys stay tuned. We're actually going to be doing one this weekend, which we'll mention here in a little bit, which is one of the focuses of this episode. But you heard at the top of the episode that we are part of the Deluxe Edition Network. It's a collective of, like, I think there's at least 30 now. 30 independent podcasts from all different varieties, genres, topics, all there. We're all supporting each other and helping each other's shows grow and reach to as much audience as possible. Just there's something for everybody there. And there's also every month we select two podcasts of the month on the Deluxe Edition Network. And the month of March, it is Baird Laws. And the other show is Bacon Is My Podcast. So that's the Deluxe Edition Network. Go to deluxeeditionnetwork.com and find the podcast of the month. Find the Steven Crypto Show and find all the other shows and support all or a few or as many as possible.
Yeah, tell your friends. I guarantee there's something there for you. There's something there for them as well. Whatever you're into, like sports, pop culture, whatever niche you follow, there's likely a show for it at Deluxe Edition Network.
Yeah, and speaking of Deluxe Edition Network, they have the Denny's that are coming up soon. It's the award show for the best on the network, which once we have more details and stuff about that and when those are happening, we'll let you guys know.
Yeah. Speaking of awards, I believe there is still time to vote on the Rondo Awards, which covers a lot of different avenues in horror, from magazines to film to podcasts, all different types of things within horror and you know, the spooky side of pop culture. So I believe you can go to rondoaward.com for details. Voting is very easy. Even if you would just like to vote for your favorite podcast,
which we're nominated,
whichever one that might
be. We haven't mentioned yet. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it might be the Steve of Crypto Show. It might be something else. I don't know. Who knows? But you can go there and vote for whatever your favorite podcast is, even if it's not listed. If you would like to add your favorite show, there's a column for that.
Don't give them any ideas. Just let them vote for the Steven Crypto Show. They don't need to be voting on
that's
nobody
right.
else.
Your favorite podcast is listed there. No worries. It's covered. So, yeah, you can go to rondoaward.com to get details. And you can literally just, like, copy the list of all the nominees and just put a little X next to them, put an X next to one or two, whatever you would like. But
you can vote in one category, you can vote in all the categories, whatever ones you want to vote in, you can.
Exactly.
It's very, very important to vote in the best podcast category because the Steven Crypto Show are nominated for the third year in a row. Let's make this one the charm.
Yeah, let's try to make some noise this year, guys. We really appreciate anybody who has voted for us so far. A few of you have chimed in to let us know. We're happy just to be nominated, really. Like, it's cool just to see our name amongst some other really great podcasts. And not even just podcasts, but we're on a list with all sorts of people like Elvira. And quick shout out to her. Elvira has a convention that's coming out here to Puyallup later this year in October. So all the horror hounds that are listening to us right now, look it up. Keep an eye out for that kind of thing. It's going to be a fun time.
Yeah. I mean,
that's all I'm going to say about it right now.
I wish it was her convention, but it's run by the people who do the Washington SummerCon.
Okay,
they just throw her name on it because it's Elvira. And if I could, if I could throw her name on our show to sell it, I would too.
Yeah. Well, she is the first and only guest announced so far.
Did mention that we're doing an event this weekend. Before we get into that, we want to hype another event that is happening this weekend. So if you can't come to the event we're going to tell you about that we're at, I highly, highly encourage you to go to the Make Believe Seattle Film Festival. It's like a horror, sci-fi, weird film festival that it just looks like a blast. It's, I think it's their second year. But this year, they are featuring the movie Bloody Bridget from Richard Elfman and Anastasia Elfman. So Richard Elfman, like Danny Elfman's brother, he's a film director, an actor and stuff, and his wife is an actress. And both super talented, and they do crazy, awesome, off-the-wall shit. And they sent me a screener of this. I still got to show it to Crypto, but Bloody Bridget is the movie. They're doing a screening and a Q&A, and before the movie, they're doing like a live stage, like burlesque horror show, where they like kind of do like the scene from the movie, which I don't want to spoil the movie, but there's some crazy, bloody, gory, wild shit. Like, it's an awesome movie, but I'm excited because the Elfmans popped in on Steven Crypto's show to tell us about the event this weekend and talk a little bit about the movie. So why don't I just shut the fuck up and run our segment with Richard and Anastasia Elfman. So meet them, and hopefully you can attend their screening this weekend. So check it out.
Hi, this is Pina Palmer, a.k.a. Sarah Palmer, a.k.a. Gwen Gooley, and I am on the Steven Crypto Show. Tune in very soon, or now, I don't care.
Hello, Steven Crypto listeners. We have a special little treat here for you. We have a couple very special guests I'm excited to introduce to you guys. We're going to do a quick little plug for an event that they're appearing locally here in Seattle. We have Richard and Anastasia Elfman are here to tell us about their film that they're touring right now called Bloody Bridget. Now, they showed me a screener of it earlier today, and this movie, excuse my language, was fucking awesome. I had such a blast watching. I haven't had this much fun watching a movie, and it's been a while. It's been a while. So, Richard and Anastasia, how are you this evening? And what's new? You enjoying the beginnings of spring or what?
I guess so. We write all night. Sometimes we see the sun. But hey, we're looking forward to coming to Seattle. This coming Saturday, March 23rd, at the Make Believe Seattle Film Festival with Bloody Bridget. And here's Bridget. Say hello.
Hello. Yes, and we're gonna be there and doing a wild live pre-show. I'm going to be doing a live bloody burlesque where I literally rip the heart out of somebody in the audience and eat it.
And I'm going to play a little music with a few local hot musicians leading into the film. So it's going to be a fun night at Make Believe Seattle this coming Saturday, March 23rd.
Awesome. Awesome. So have you guys performed this pre-show thing during the tour?
Are you kidding? We've been everywhere from Canada to Brazil and everywhere in between.
Just touring the world with it.
Yeah, I've got to say, I love Canada, but I'm a percussionist and they have better percussion in Brazil, I'm afraid.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so.
Yeah, we not only perform in it, we also co-produce every single aspect of our screening events and whenever we come out with the film. So it's like a lot of work that we're putting everything together and in charge of every little micro thing that happens during our live events.
But I mean, it's total fun.
Yes.
We bring the house down, get people into the proper insane mood.
So how have the audience reactions been in, you know, like Brazil versus in the U.S.?
Well, first of all, people love it. I've got to say the film's a crowd pleaser, Bloody Bridget. Although Brazil, it actually caused, Anna was mobbed afterwards by women as well as men. Oh, you should kill my boyfriend like that. He's so bad. Because Bridget is what they call a Valentine vampire. Blood only whets her appetite. She must eat their beating hearts, and they all deserve it.
Yes, yes. We see, we let the bad guys be really, really bad, which I'm not sure if audiences are used to seeing bad guys be bad. And, you know, the audience, whenever we're watching it with them, they're always so excited when it's time for Bloody Bridget to do her vengeful stuff, I guess, going around murdering all the bad guys.
I can vouch for that. When the bad guys get theirs, you're happy to see it. That's for sure. And, you know, a lot of our audience is horror fans. It gets pretty gory and graphic, which you guys will really like.
Yeah, we had great special effects, great practical effects. When she pulls the heart out, it's like beating and pumping and blood squirting. And very visceral.
Well, yeah, I'm a huge horror fan, and I have a background in doing practical effects professionally, so it was a big deal for me, and also Rick, a lot of his films are all practical, to have a really great practical effects team with Soda and Rick Neerham. So we were very lucky and supported in that way.
You mentioned the Valentine's vampire and taking out bad guys. Well, what's kind of the quick little summary or synopsis of the film?
Okay, so a Haitian voodoo deity, Baron Samedi's wife, and this is actually in real Haitian folklore, is the red-haired Irish Saint Bridget from Ireland, who was originally a Celtic goddess, Bridget. So his wife's been missing, and he mistakes a red-haired Irish ballet dancer from a little dive bar in Van Nuys for his long-lost wife. And he thinks she's lost her memory, so he restores new powers and makes her into a Valentine vampire. And that's kind of how it starts. Although it gets complicated later, we even have a trial with the devil, like a marital trial. But that, like, the film's very musical driven, by the way. My brother Danny Elfman and our bandmate Ego Plum, kind of wall-to-wall musical score.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a very musically driven film as well.
Plus some classic Oingo Boingo hits. And we have a brand new song from Danny, his first album in like 30 years, called Cruel Compensation. And we're the first ones ever to use that song in anything. So it's for fans of Danny, it's like, it's a huge deal to have all of this new score and music and you know, these little Easter eggs for like Elfman fans.
That definitely stood out. Like, I didn't, you know, we spoke prior and we talked about Danny doing, you know, scoring the film and everything, but I didn't expect right off the top without spoiling the Oingo Boingo jam right at the beginning. I was like, yeah, that got me hyped for the film. Just that whole opening, that whole sequence at the beginning when you start with the, like I said, not to spoil anything, with the animated sequence right into the live stage show that you do. And then the Boingo song hits and it's just chaos from there, which I loved it. I think I might actually run through it again.
Ooh,
well, I've got to put a warning out to people that are offended by fun, laughter, blood, music, gore, and sex should avoid the film.
Most people should just avoid going out in public anyways.
Just horror in general, just avoid.
Yeah, just stay home and stay away from me. I don't want nothing to do with those people personally. But so the Make Believe Seattle Film Festival, I personally don't know much about that festival. I've heard about it the last few years, and it's very like alternative, and like we say, weird and horror, and it's like for the film festival for the outsiders and the weirdos like myself. But it's definitely one I want to check out. Is that happening the whole weekend, or is it just the day you guys are there?
I think the festival's the whole weekend, but we're Saturday night, March 23rd.
At 8:15 p.m.
We have any idea how people can get tickets, or is it sold out yet?
God, I don't know. It's
I can send you the link. There's like an online ticket link, and I imagine people can get tickets at the event, but yeah.
Although it'll probably sell out, so that's they should true. Get their tickets in advance.
I think it should. This is definitely one to get in advance. even if not for that show, to see this movie. That's the most important thing. This movie is awesome. You guys are going to love it. And I think we have a new cult classic on our hands.
Well, thank you, Steve.
But with that being said, is there anything else you guys want to add here? Okay. I'll quote that when I describe the episode. Is that just 7 H's in the or is that? I think I might have heard about 12.
Yeah, I was gonna say closer to 12. That's what I felt.
Is there any other personal stuff you guys want to plug here? Why we got you here?
God, we're
websites.
What is this other word? Horror Hound in Cincinnati the same weekend. And then go to I we're just rebuilding the site. I hope it's up in a couple of days. BloodyBridget.com, RichardElfman.com, AnastasiaElfman.com. It's all coming up this week.
Yeah, and we're on social media too.
Yeah, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, we try to really promote our events through there and connect with fans. And then for the event in Seattle, it's going to be a pre-show. We're going to be there watching the film, and then afterwards there's a Q&A and a meet and greet, and we'll have special unique merch there. And as always, Ricky's always happy to sign any like Forbidden Zone merch, anything like Elfman related. If come on down and bring the fun merch.
Yeah, you hear that, Seattle, my local friends, get out there, the Make Believe Seattle Film Festival, meet them, check out Bloody Bridget. I highly, highly encourage you watch it. It's great. I had a blast, and I'm honestly bummed that he can't be there to watch it, because we actually ended up booked at a convention over this way in our area, so we're missing it. But no reason anybody else should miss it. Go see them. Don't worry about coming to see Steve and Crypto. Go see them and have a blast. That show is going to be wild. Watch Bridget. Eat a heart, and maybe she'll share with you. I don't know.
Hey, thank you, Steve.
Thank you guys for coming by, and let's do this again down the road and talk a whole lot more.
Sounds good. Take care.
Thank you so much.
I'm Mr. Lobo of Cinema Insomnia, and you're listening to the Steve and Crypto Show. Or are you?
All right. That was really cool to have Richard and Anastasia on here. I've always been a fan of Danny Elfman, and I love Oingo Boingo, and I love his scores for all his stuff, like Wednesday and Nightmare Before Christmas and Beetlejuice, all that stuff. I fucking love what he does.
Likewise.
And to hear his work in this movie was cool. It just fit. It was perfect. And also, you heard in the chat that Danny Elfman has an album coming out, and this is the first time releasing one of the songs was in Bloody Bridget. So you kind of go to the screening, watch the movie, listen up for to be one of the first people to hear Danny Elfman's new music. And yeah, how fucking cool is that? They're going to be in Seattle. So all our Seattle friends, if you're not coming over to Port Angeles for SquatchCon, which again, we'll tell you about in a few minutes, go to the Make Believe Seattle Film Festival. I'm pretty sure that's what it's called, hopefully. But I that's something I'm going to put an effort into checking out next year, for sure. But check that out, and thanks again to the Elfmans for popping in. Before we get into SquatchCon and our other guests, sometimes we like to come up with a little bit of news to banter about and chit-chat about.
Yeah.
So, very short list this week. What a kind of interesting horror and movie news have you seen pop up?
I think it might be slightly longer than last week or the week before, because we just haven't had a whole lot to talk about. And then, bam, there's just a shitload of things that kind of dropped all around the same time that are horror-related.
Personally, I think the biggest thing is, which I don't know if it was, if we talked about it last time, but Godzilla Minus One getting an Oscar for their effects.
Yeah. Yeah.
Finally see a Godzilla movie get an Oscar after 70 some odd years. It is fucking awesome. I love Godzilla. Honestly, it's weird. Like, it had really nothing to do with me, but it meant a lot to me that this thing that I've loved like all my life finally got recognized, and hopefully it opens a door for more.
I get it. I'd probably be that same way. I mean, I like Godzilla too, but I'd be that same way if it was something that that was even a little bit closer to me. Like I gave up on award shows years ago, or the majority of them at least. It's like my mom, she followed them heavily. She'd watch, you know, the Emmys, the Oscars, whatever, Golden Globes. But maybe some people listening can relate to this. A lot of the people that I really like and really follow don't get awards, or they don't get awards on those big shows like that. If you're lucky, you'll see them featured on something like the Fangoria Chainsaw Awards. And when that finally came out,
it's coming up soon.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear it. But I mean, I watched it once or twice on TV, and I thought, finally, an award show for me, like with people that I care about. You know, like it's just anytime an award show pops up, I'm like, I just care less, because 90% of the people that I really am rooting for, they're maybe there in attendance just hanging out, but they're not even nominated. You know, like they're not, like when it comes to comedies, usually what's nominated has to have like a strong message. Like, why can't it just be funny? And why can't it just be, hey, we're nominating this movie because it's a good movie and it's just entertaining. Like, nothing wrong with the film with a message. Nothing wrong with that. That's fine. Film is an art, and it's okay. But some of us just watch films to be entertained and to be pulled away from reality for a bit. And it'd just be nice to see those people get awards too. Like, it's kind of happening a little bit more now in the last few years. Like, Godzilla would never even been nominated in the past. Guardians of the Galaxy, I think I noticed that was nominated this year. The last film was. But, you know, it'd be cool to see, like, Deadpool get nominated for something. But because it's too raunchy, they won't.
Poor Things was pretty, had some graphic stuff in it.
Yeah.
And I feel like for that to get as much praise as it did. I mean, Emma Stone got, you know, the Best Actress.
Yeah.
So it's like, and it has really horror and sci-fi and, like, off-the-wall vibes that a lot of the movies we like have. So I feel like it's just like a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. I mean, I'm glad that certain films are being recognized, and things that are maybe horror-esque. But it feels like it always has to be on the artsy side for it to be even thought of with most award shows. And you know, Scream 7's not going to get even nominated for anything. Like, why not? It's fun. It's entertaining, and people liked it and made money. Well, saying when it comes out, if it does well and it makes money, then why not consider it? But it's because there's no artistic, not edge, but
depth to it.
Like, depth. Yeah, it doesn't even have much depth, but it's entertaining. And to me, I guess that should be enough.
They're
that
fun
should be
and
enough.
Entertaining, but it's just like the dude in the mask chasing people around.
Yeah, I mean, that's just one example. It's just one example. I mean, like, anything horror that is even nominated, there's usually like a really deep layer to it. And again, nothing wrong with that, but there are a lot of horror films that I really enjoy that aren't that deep. And they're just fun. It's like, well, isn't that enough? Like, I go in knowing that, like, again, Evil Dead's not going to get a nomination, but, like, well, why?
If you look at, like, the best picture, there's a lot of criteria that goes into that, like, the actual writing of the script, the story itself.
Yeah.
The dialogue, the way it's shot, the cinematography, the, you know what I mean? All that stuff goes in together. But if we look at, and this is not disparaging horror in any way, but if you look at a lot of popular horror movies, there is, it's, you know, the stories are kind of not amazing. Like you look at like the Scream series, as entertaining as they are, every movie is basically the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, that's why it's stuff like that don't get that much acclaim like that. But then you look at, like, you know, a couple years ago, like when X came out, that got a lot of acclaim, but it's because it had more to it, more structure and depth and like story and just substance to it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it got fucking shit on, and the homegirl, her name escapes me right now.
Mia Goth?
Yes, Mia Goth. She should have gotten some kind of nomination, because at least for Pearl, she was, it was one of the best fucking performances I've seen in any kind of movie. I watch all fucking genres. I watch everything from fucking garbage, you know what I mean? Like crap that we would be in to, you know, the best picture, you know what I mean? I watch all of it and everything in between. And
what do you mean crap we would be in? Those films are golden, and they will be available at our merch booth this weekend at SquatchCon.
Okay, fair enough. Come buy our crap, right? Damn, what the fuck were we talking about? Where did we go? We're talking about Oscars and Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
What other stuff was on the list?
You might, I know, I didn't mean to get off on a rant. Just that kind of shit kind of bugs me. It always has.
I know.
Like, the people I like don't get nominated just because they're not making like artsy fartsy stuff.
Hey,
so
Jamie Lee Curtis got an Academy Award last year.
Yeah.
For a fucking great movie.
It's slowly starting to change. It's just,
it'll change once people realize.
You'll see these people get nominated for things, and then you're like, oh, well, they got nominated for this film here, but this one over here is too bloody, and they won't even consider that.
Which is really cool. Like, they're not my favorite movies, but the Jordan Peele movies, his horror movies,
yeah,
though they're not my favorite, they kind of open people's eyes to horror, that it's not just fucking crap gore bullshit.
Yeah,
critics are starting to notice and like pay attention and stuff, which is, like you say, step in the right direction. Anyways, you mentioned Scream. There's kind of big Scream news that came out in the last since last time we were on here, that Neve Campbell's coming back.
Yeah, one afternoon they just kind of dropped that bomb, and
didn't they announce that like the day we released the episode or something?
Yeah, like the day of or the next day. That happens to us a lot, by the way, for you guys listening. We'll put out an episode, and then like the next day something really worth talking about is released. We're like, fuck,
everything
we should have waited.
We talk about is worth talking about. our main thing here is to promote the creators and stuff we have on.
And yeah,
we still like to talk about stuff we like to talk about. But yes, that shit does happen. It happens way too much.
Yeah. So another one of those situations is this one with Scream. So Neve Campbell has agreed to return. So obviously, the people behind the scenes are paying her what she is due. I mean, she's the face of the franchise. They need to keep her around, in my opinion. I don't know. I like the newer people, but like, I grew up on the old cast. Of course I want them around. But there are some crazy theories and ideas that are floating around. Like, there's been some talk about like all of the original cast coming back, and I don't know how they would pull that off. Like, is a bunch of the shit we've seen a dream?
Did they kill everybody? Yeah.
Alternate
universe? Like, what the fuck?
So, I mean, there's a lot of different things floating around right now. So, I just don't think they I don't think they want to tell us too much other than like certain key point things to pull our interest and have us waiting for the release date or waiting for the trailer. Kevin Williamson, who is the original writer for Scream, I guess is going to kind of flip roles this time, and he will be directing this film. I'm sure they've released who will be writing it. I don't have the name right now, but just knowing that Kevin will be directing it could improve things. Who knows? I mean, it's cool to know the original man, you know, who thought of all of this to begin with is going to be coming back. So that to me is a good sign.
Back to the Neve Campbell thing. I think they had no choice but to throw money at her. Because, like you said, all the other old people are dead and gone. The new people that they were trying to make as the new faces of the franchise quit or left. So it's like they had no choice but to bring her back.
Yeah.
But now, like, I think if they don't come up with something really fucking profound and, like, really good story-wise, I think this might be the end of the Scream franchise. Unless they reboot the whole thing.
Yeah.
Unless maybe they just plan to do, like, a big ending with her and then reboot it.
I've watched a few different people on YouTube talk about it, and one person did bring up an idea for the story, and that's Ghostface not just going after Sydney this time, but Sydney's family. You know, she has kids now to protect and has a husband. And so there's that angle that they could...
Should just make her the killer.
That was mentioned a long time ago. Somehow, yeah.
Find a way to make it just like, guess what? I've been fucking mastermind the whole time.
Yeah.
I manipulated those fucking boys to kill everybody in the first one, and I've been fucking puppet master through the whole thing.
I think that angle would be cool. I also am in the large boat of people that want Stu back somehow. I just like Matthew Lillard. I just think he's cool. He's an eccentric character as Stu. I think he played a good crazy dude.
Play it as Shaggy though.
Yeah. He's gonna be doing a new Scooby-Doo. I read that he said that, like, as long as there are Scooby-Doo projects coming out, he's gonna do his part to be Shaggy. Like, he always wants to play that part. Yeah, they'll be trying to figure out who the killer is, and they'll look at Matthew Lillard, and he's like, wasn't me.
Yeah.
Wrong Shaggy.
Arthritis, Scoob.
Wrong Shaggy, sorry.
Anyway, so yeah, they need to come up with something good for Scream, what is it, 7? Yeah, that's all I got to say about that.
The Cult of Stu idea that was kind of loosely being thrown around in the last one would be cool. I mean, he didn't, I guess he didn't die. I mean, some people like to think that he didn't. So I think that's one angle they could go to really just give people what they want and make some money. He had a TV dropped on his head. Nev pushed a thing over and dropped a TV on his head. But, yeah. So some folks have just tossed that idea around, like, well, what if he's not dead? And even in the last movie, I don't know if you remember that, but when they're walking around in the, like, the room with all the different ghost face items, you know, artifacts and whatever. What's her name? Kirby is talking to somebody. And they pointed out Stu's mask or outfit or whatever, and just said something about it. And then she says, yeah, if you believe he's really dead. And they just kind of left it there.
So we're going to find out that he's alive and he's really Sydney's baby daddy. And the whole Scream 7 is going to be about, like, fucking a battling court for child support or something.
Yeah. Yeah, he's trying to get his baby back.
David Gordon Green's not coming back for the Exorcist movie because the last one sucked, and I don't blame him.
What? What do you mean? They're not going to make more?
No, they are, though.
What?
Because really? They paid, like, a lot of money for the rights.
Oh, that's right. Exorcist, like, $400 million or something.
They paid a stupid amount, and then they made a shitty movie, which it made money, but, like, it wasn't that good.
No. No. Like, it was kind of hard to sit through.
It could have just been not in the classic Exorcist universe, and then in another dumb movie. But they're still supposed to make more, but I don't know where it's going to go now. And honestly, after the last one, I don't care that much. But I just think it's worth mentioning.
So somebody's going to end up directing it.
Sure.
They just don't know who yet.
It ain't going to direct itself. I mean,
well, no, I'm just saying there's no names floating around yet as to who might be taking it on. Is it you?
Yeah.
I mean, anything that you come up with or that we came up with would be... I don't want to be cocky and say it, but I'd like to think it might be better than what we already saw.
I do it for 10% of the budget that David Gordon Green was going to get. Which is probably still more money than I've made all my life so far. What else?
So David Gordon Green is moving on to a Halloween TV series. Is that right?
No.
Okay. He's not involved with that.
Somebody else is gonna be kind of getting the ball rolling on a Halloween series. So I don't know how far into the situation they are, but they're working on a Halloween series. I don't know if it's going to be about Michael Myers or like pre-Michael Myers, like they're doing with the Jason shit.
Crystal Lake thing,
But we'll see. I'm just going to keep an eye on that shit and see what happens with it. But no, I heard David Gordon Green was working on something, and I think it was like a comedy or something. Something that's going to be better than that Exorcist movie.
Okay.
Probably his Halloween movies. But... I enjoyed those, at least. Exorcist one bored me.
Yeah.
And two other old, I guess not old, but series, franchises from that launched in the 90s, I Know What You Did Last Summer, and Final Destination are both getting new movies. Which, again, I know that was more like your era. Are getting into horror, so how do you feel about them? Like, I don't really care. But I'll watch them, of course.
I'll definitely watch them, especially if what I've heard is true and the fact that they're maybe trying to get a bunch of the old cast to come back. I mean, those that are alive, at least. So, like, Jennifer Love Hewitt and
I Know What You Did.
Freddie Prinze Jr. And I don't know. Was Ryan Phillippe was in one of those, right? I don't know if he died or not. There's probably
a bunch
did.
Of fucking pretty people that did something fucked up and blah blah blah.
It was. I mean, it's not bad. Neither one of them are bad. Well, there's three. I haven't watched the third one, but the first two that feature the same cast or most of them, they're not bad movies. They're not horror films that I go back to watch again and again. I don't even think I own them, to be honest.
Isn't Buffy?
Sarah Michelle Gellar is in the first one, at least. Yeah, she's in the first one. Jack Black is in the second one.
Is he?
Yeah, he plays like a stoner greeter guy when they show up.
He plays what you would think younger Jack Black would play.
Big white dude with dreads and a Hawaiian shirt on.
Maybe I did see that. I kind of vaguely remember that. I know I seen the first one. I don't remember seen any other. I'll say see if they're streaming.
Yeah. So yeah, there's been talk about bringing some of the old cast back for that one. Final Destination, I liked the first two a lot, and I mean, I know I'm one of many people that think of that film when you see a log truck on the road.
Yeah, we see them a lot around here.
Can't help it. Can't help but have that little flash, that scene in my head. I mean, they're not favorite horror movies of mine by any means, but they're cool, I guess. I own the first. Yeah, they tried. I own the first two. I don't really rewatch them much. But I grew up at the time where like Devin Sawa was in a lot of things. Like I watched him in Idle Hands, which I like that movie much more.
Still liked it. Yeah.
Much more than Final Destination. You can't really compare them, but it's a fun movie.
You do lean more towards the horror comedy kind of thing. So that, but no, Idle Hands is fucking awesome. I love that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, shit, you got The Offspring in there too, and I love that band. So there's a lot of things about
scalping of The Offspring. Yeah,
yeah, Dexter's head getting scalped. Yeah, there are a lot of things about that movie that I enjoy. Yeah, my cousin and I, when we were 12 or 13 or whatever, we rented that movie probably like half a dozen times or more in one summer and just watched it all the time. But I grew up watching that one. Wild America, I think, was another one he was in. And there was just like this time, like Hollywood does, where they're like, okay, this actor is popular right now. Let's just put him in a shit ton of things. Like they did it with Kevin Hart. They've done it with Tiffany Haddish. You know, they did it with Devin Sawa and many others. So I got into Final Destination at a young age.
They're going to do it with Steve and Crypto.
Yeah. How do you think we'll die? Like, we'll get electrocuted, plug it in our microphones or something?
No, it'll probably be like fucking heart disease or fucking...
Yeah.
Severe diarrhea, dehydration.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
Something fitting for us. You know what I mean?
We suffocate in a porta potty that overflows or something like that. The doors, the porta potty gets knocked over. We can't open the door.
Crypto is really gassy, and he tried to fucking spark up a blunt and just exploded.
That's how he went.
So
Final Destination.
You guys
want to
come see us this weekend at SquatchCon? I don't think I want to go.
Come meet the future stars of Final Destination 9. It's going to take us a while to coach the directors into actually like involving us in the picture. So by the time that maybe happens, they'll be making the ninth film.
Well, I won't be able to, cause I'll be busy directing the new Exorcist. So I can't do it that day. So you'll have to act that one by yourself. This is the perfect transition point to go from shitty ideas to good ideas. Good ideas like joining us at SquatchCon in Port Angeles, Washington. So if you're in the Northwest, come up to Port Angeles and hang out with us at this awesome newer pop culture convention. It's called SquatchCon. I just said that twice. And I also said it's in Port Angeles, and you have something to add to this too.
It's going to be this coming Thursday through Sunday. So that is March 21st through the 24th. Now, Steve and I will only be there on the 23rd, on Saturday, March 23rd. That's this Saturday. So
I have,
if you're listening,
meetings for Exorcist Part 8. So
I have to go pick up the porta potty the next day and for the other thing. Anyway,
I know where you shit last summer or whatever.
Yeah. You were in a porta potty behind an Arby's.
I know your Final Destination last summer.
They made a movie called The Final Destination, And now they're still going. Yeah. They're like, we lied. It wasn't the final destination. And then the next film is going to be called, No, Seriously, This Is the Final Destination. Yep.
No, this is it. We were mistaken.
Yeah. They just keep putting new post-it notes over the old poster.
So SquatchCon, go to SquatchConPA.com to get tickets and see the list of a lot of the vendors, and there's a lot of artists and indie comic creators and all kinds of really cool people. Like last year we had a blast. We met a lot of cool people. We did a couple little interviews and stuff on the scene, and what was probably your highlight from last year?
Man, there were some wonderful vendors there. I wish I had the names of some of these people, but if we're lucky, they'll be there again this year. And you people that are listening now can go check them out yourselves. There was a woman there that was selling like these little framed pictures that she painted of Chucky and Tiffany. And it's just like a close shot of their faces each. And I had to get both of them. So I have those in my kitchen right now on the wall. And then there was a booth, and I know you talked to this couple. I'd say the main booth that had like Bigfoot stuff, like their main thing was like just Bigfoot merch. Because a lot of the booths had other things, like they might have a few Bigfoot items at their table or whatever, but they didn't really specialize in just Bigfoot memorabilia. But this booth, they were in like the middle of the room, far back wall. There was a Bigfoot statue, I think, that was close to them, and it really got your attention. And you go over there, and they had like metal Bigfoot signs. They had beer coasters, stickers, all keychains, all kinds of little things.
Their name escapes me, but they were really cool people. They were like, I'm kind of hoping they're there this year. They're actually opening like a Bigfoot shop and a Bigfoot museum.
Yep.
Other people that have been like had Bigfoot encounters and like friends with a lot of like the famous Bigfoot encounter, you know, whatever you want to call the people who see him. Those people. But they had a lot of cool stories, and like the husband had worked on props and stuff for movies like Deep Blue Sea and stuff like that. And
yeah.
The classic, your favorite movie.
I know, you probably hate that I like cool that movie people. More than Jaws, don't you?
I didn't know that. You might have mentioned that, but yes, I do hate that. Jaws is one of the greatest movies ever.
I did not say I don't like Jaws. I love Jaws. But when you're a 10, 12-year-old kid and you want to see the sharks eat a lot of people and you want to see that shit happen, you watch Deep Blue Sea. A little more mystery in Jaws, and you got to wait longer to see the shark, you know?
That's what makes it scarier.
I know, but when you're a kid, you don't want to wait.
There. It's like when you're little and scared of the dark, like, you know, like you think there's something there.
I appreciate that now. Just plenty. It's, yeah, I love Jaws for what it is now. But anyway.
SquatchCon. My favorite thing was just hanging out and chatting with some of the creators and stuff. Hopefully we get into that this year, and hopefully we find some people with some horror shit.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be like cool.
Last year you scored those sweet paintings and stuff. So
right.
Cool. One of the creators that's going to be at SquatchCon is a friend of ours named Camry Lapka. She has a comic that's in Kickstarter right now called George Smith, Paranormal Investigator of the PNW, the Pacific Northwest. Paranormal shit is, you know, fits in good here. You know, we love horror and spooky shit. So I figured we should probably have her on to tell us about this book. And she just happens to be one of the organizers. She's not like, she don't specifically work for Squatch Camp, but she's very involved with Squatch.
Yeah.
So we
she really has a hand in it.
Yeah. Both hands probably.
Yeah. The other hand is drawing.
Yeah, there you go. We had her come on to tell us about the comic, and we talked a bit about Squatchron. So why do we jump into that? Meet Cameron Lapka. We'll be back to wrap up this episode and say goodbye until next time when we tell you how Squatchron went.
Shit, Steve, call me Alaska Airlines because I'm barely holding myself together.
Too soon with the Alaska Airlines, but I feel you.
You sure? You sure? Too soon?
A little bit.
You know what? That's fine. Fortunately, I got hooked up with these tropical THC gummies from Sunday Scaries. They're called couch potatoes.
Yeah, they're legal. Yeah, they're real. Yes, you definitely get high. And no, you shouldn't drive.
Couch potatoes come in four different flavors. Tropical flavors, that is. Mango, pineapple, orange, and blue razz. They're so tasty, they'll have your taste buds signing up for jury duty.
You know, couch potatoes are ideal for boosting your happiness and relaxation by entering a mild euphoric state.
And whether you had a shitty day of work, the kids are finally asleep, or you spent the weekend with the in-laws, just take one gummy and watch your stresses melt away.
You can get 20% off your order with the code SteveCrypto at SundayScaries.com. Afraid? Don't be. There's a 100% money-back guarantee on all purchases, so there's no buying risk.
Check out SundayScaries.com and feel good.
Hey, what is happening, Steve and crypto listeners? We have a special guest here. Somebody from our neck of the woods, actually, which is pretty rare. It's hard to find cool people around here, to be honest. But we're going to talk about a couple things. First of all, my guest is Cameron Lapka. She has a great comic that she is in the process of publishing, and she's hoping you guys like the sound of it and go and kick into her Kickstarter for it. But we're going to talk about that, and we are all guests at SquatchCon in Port Angeles, Washington, which we've mentioned a couple times here on the show so far. We're really excited for that. It's later this month. But first, let's meet Camry and talk about her book. So, Camry, how are you?
I am doing great, Steve. How are you?
Pretty good. Before we jump into the book, tell everybody a little about yourself and your background.
So, I am Camry, obviously. I do a lot of comic book work. I've worked for USA bestseller Russell Nowelty in Los Angeles. I've worked for Bad Bug Media in West Virginia. I worked out for Burnt Out Creative in Texas, and a variety of a lot of smaller indie creators. And I've been doing this for a few years now, and that's why I'm looking into making my own stories, because now I have the experience and the involvement in the community. Now that I want to put something of my own out there. That's my whole life is just comics. I'm super passionate about it. I help organize SquatchCon, which is crazy. It's next week.
It's
coming fast. That's what I've been preparing for the last few weeks. I've just been going. It's been crazy. That's pretty much me. I live in the Pacific Northwest, Olympic Peninsula, and it's my favorite place on earth. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
I feel that. It's a great place. I grew up elsewhere, but being here, it's definitely one of the most beautiful places you could be.
Absolutely.
Sure. Well, so you're pushing a crowdfunding for a book and helping run a growing convention. That's a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, I was hoping to cross promote these two things because I'm super passionate about SquatchCon, and I am really excited because this kind of you know, takes place on the Olympic Peninsula, and there's supposed to be a Bigfoot in there. And since SquashCon is all about Sasquatch, I was like, hey, these two things merge really well. So I was like, I'll launch the Kickstarter in March, and then I'll try and promote it at SquashCon and get people interested there. So I mean, that was the idea, at least. And I realized it's quite a bit of work to do both of those things at the same time.
That's definitely worked. I plan to start again, but I did my small show out in our area out here, in Port Townsend, which I think we might have been one of your first shows you tabled at.
It might
comic book swap meet.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Remember, you were like new. You were like little baby Camry.
I was.
Just
oh yeah.
Books.
Yeah, that. I remember you being there.
Yep, yep. I was at Chimica Comic Swap. That was like yeah, that was probably my first or second, because I know they had Opticon and Squim, which was probably my very first one that I'd ever done. But then I had started Pugmera Studios with Brayden, and that's where kind of my start got going, was with him and his connections in the comic book community. And yeah, since then I've grown quite a bit, and I love doing what I do.
You've been hopping around to different events in the last like 6 months or so, haven't you? What's
yeah.
the farthest that you've ventured away from Port Angeles?
South Dakota. I did Black Hills Con in Rapid City.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
How's the turnout there?
It was actually surprising. I had a friend who I grew up with in high school or middle school, and he helps organize it, and he was the one who invited me out. And I was expecting kind of like a little team, like kind of how we've been doing it with our little tiny whatever. But it was actually, you know, at the Rapid City Convention Center, and that place is huge, and they actually had a really impressive set of events, and I had a great time while I was there, and I made enough money that I broke even on the trip, so it was well worth it.
And it's sometimes that's all you could ask for, and that's enough, actually, because you know, you're breaking even, so you're not losing money, and you're getting your stuff out there in front of new faces.
Yeah, like, I wasn't expecting. I was thinking that it was going to be really small, and it was just going to, and it was like kind of a hybrid trip, because my dad lives down there, so I was kind of like there half tabling, half visiting my family. So it was
cool.
Yeah.
So people were pretty engaging out there.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a lot of people who showed up.
I feel like an area like that is kind of starving, like hungry for something like that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's get into your book. So George Smith, Paranormal Investigator of the PNW. Love the big
yeah.
title.
Yeah.
Before you tell us about the book, how did you come up with the title? You started telling us a funny little story before we got going here, so I want people to hear this one.
Yeah, so I was kind of looking for the most like normal guy name, because the opposing, it's supposed to be kind of a, I don't know the word for it, but like he is the most like normal guy ever. He's supposed to be just like normal guy, and then he encounters the paranormal, so it's kind of like the opposites coming together kind of thing. So then he's, you know, that was the whole idea, was it was supposed to be the most common silly sounding name. And yeah, I thought it would be funny if a just a normal guy became a paranormal investigator of the Olympic Peninsula to try and find his daughter, and paired up with a Clallam native forest ranger, and explored all of the like very intimate lore and myths that are here in this area.
So it sounds like a book that anybody could appreciate, but especially if you live in the area, you're probably going to, I imagine you included like some maybe names of local areas or like street names, familiar things, familiar items.
Yeah, actually the
that
first
locals
page,
will appreciate.
Yeah, the first page I have the view of Port Angeles from the spit. You can see the wharf and the crab whatever that's part of the Red Lion, and then the Field and Arts Hall. It's kind of a little fun that you know only people who live there would recognize, but
yeah,
it's fun.
That's cool.
Yeah, so, I'm pretty stoked.
So did you mentioned like local lore and stuff? Did you actually dive into the research to learn all these myths and stuff locally? Did you make up any yourself, or was it just you went with real stuff, real stories?
It's based on a lot of real stories. Like I've been working on this for about 5-6 years now. So there was a lot that's gone into it. I had considered, like, I had talked to a variety of people, and there's probably a lot that I don't know about that is, you know, just, there's so much here that it's kind of impossible to know everything. But, I have a few books, I've been reading that goes into a lot of like Salish myths and myths that are like set in the Olympic Peninsula, for example. Like there's a lot of myths about the Thunderbird and like in Solduk, the two dragons who create the hot springs because they've been fighting for so long that their tears formed hot springs.
Never heard of that one.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
me neither.
Yeah, it's super fascinating. And another one is our Lady of the Lake, Hali, who was murdered in 1945, and her body washed up on shore, which is really rare for Lake Crescent because it's got such a high nitrogen content, and all of her fats had turned to soap. So there's some legends about her walking on the water at Lake Crescent as like a ghostly figure. And so she's kind of one of my inspirations for a character in there, but she won't be in the first book. The biggest thing about this first book is I wanted to make sure that there was enough interest for me to keep going, because if it's not something that people want, then I'm going to move on to other things. But I was kind of hoping that this was kind of a love letter to the area. And that people would be interested in it. So it's also about marketing, I'm sure. And I'm trying to do a bunch of that, which I'm not super great at, but I'm doing my best.
It's all learning. Like I said, it's all learning, but it looks like you're doing pretty well with it. I think I saw something pop up in a local paper, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not sure.
An article or something?
It might have been associated with SquatchCon, because I did have an ad that I sent to Jess, and she might have, because it was in the SquatchCon program, which I know might have been published with the newspaper, but I'm not entirely sure.
Hopefully I'm not wrong in making stuff up. Another local myth, just the lore of the local media.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it sounds like the Kickstarter is doing fairly well.
Yeah, we're at $2,200 right now out of an $8,000 goal. I thought 8,000 was a decent number, but apparently it's kind of a bigger goal for Kickstarter. I've only run one other one before. I sat down and did all of the like calculations for how much it would cost for things, and I wanted to be able to pay myself for the next book so that I could keep making it. I've had a few conversations with some people, and it sounds like they choose to fund the project through Kickstarter and not bother getting paid unless they make over goal, which doesn't sound super great to me, but I guess I could understand if you really wanted to put something out there. But yeah, that is why my goal is 8,000 rather than a smaller goal, because some of that is going back into the production for book two.
Right. So book two, you probably won't need as if you do a funding for it, you won't need as much.
Yeah.
You'll already have money rolled over into it. So
yeah, So yeah, that's the idea. I'm hoping that because it's really about whether or not this book is going to be worth it necessarily, because I do have a lot of other ideas that I want to get involved in, but I wanted to put this out there first and see how it did, because I was really excited about this idea and I spent a lot of time on it. So yeah, I mean, it's really the thing.
So George Smith, the regular guy, without spoiling too much of the story, how does he stumble into being an investigator?
So his daughter goes missing. The backstory is him and his daughter moved from somewhere else after him and her mom had gotten divorced. And so now there's a little tension between him and his daughter. And his daughter starts talking to something in the woods, and he thinks that she's just like having an imaginary friend. But one night she gets really mad at him and runs away and disappears. And now he has to go find her. And so he works for the paper. And before his daughter goes missing, he is investigating a strange occurrences that have been happening on the Olympic Peninsula. And he thinks that it's just some silly, crazy guy who thinks he sees Bigfoot in the woods. But he meets Hank, who is a retired forest ranger whose brother had gone missing years ago. And anytime there's a missing persons case, Hank shows up to help with the search. And so when his daughter goes missing, Hank shows up, and they kind of have like a really bad introduction to each other. They kind of hate each other because they're kind of foils to each other. But it's kind of a story of opposites coming together and facing the darkness and the strange things that come with life, and how beautiful and mysterious the Olympic Peninsula can feel. And that's really the short pitch for this book.
Have you personally had any paranormal experiences?
I haven't personally, but I have had secondhand stories from many people.
Well, if you haven't, that's no fun. You need to see a ghost or something.
I know. I'm like, where are you guys at? Come on.
Go play in the woods. Go play in the woods and find a ghost.
Cemetery.
Find Bigfoot. Yeah.
I know, right? I have gone into many scary, spooky places hoping to have an experience. I don't know. Maybe the ghosts just don't like me. Or, I don't know, I emit some strange energy and they just want to stay as far away from me as possible. But
write a short story and start talking smack about a couple ghosts.
start talking smack. Come on, guys. I'm wide open.
It's weird because you hear a lot of things about the people that like go into these situations expecting it. Usually think they see stuff.
Yeah.
So you're just maybe just the ghosts just don't like you.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Yeah, that's fine with me, I guess. I mean, I like to go face head on the spooky stuff. I'm very much into the paranormal, but they just don't like me.
Maybe they'll like you more once the first book comes out. Once they see,
I know,
you're putting them on the map. You know,
so I know. Yeah, right. Maybe I hope she's so.
Cool. Yeah, bringing us some attention.
Yeah.
That's a good plan.
That's the hope. Maybe the aliens will come down and see that I'm worth abducting.
Right. So
go out in the woods and look for Bigfoot, but leave a little flyer for SquatchCon and attach it to a tree
SquatchCon,
yeah, come on, buddy.
Like free admission.
We got a whole convention based around you, my man. Let's go.
Right.
I kind of want to see ghosts show up, to be honest, but that would be cool.
Yeah. Too. Yeah.
I think
maybe one
Bigfoot,
day.
I think Bigfoot showing up would be a little scarier than ghosts.
Yeah, I mean that would definitely be interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody would be wandering around dressed like Bigfoot. I hope.
Oh yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah, awesome, Squatch Guy? Right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Jess has a blow up costume. Or is it a I don't know if it's a blow up costume,
yeah.
But it's
costume, sure. Yeah.
Costume, yeah. No,
dressed up.
actual Bigfoot.
Right. So the goal on the Kickstarter is 8,000. You're about a quarter of the way there. The campaign, is there any perks or anything for people that do contribute?
Yeah, absolutely. So for $5, you can get the digital PDF. For $10, you can get the physical book. It'll be a floppy. But it's, I think we've got it pinned at about 32 pages. At the $20 tier, we have a special Dino Nuggies sticker because there's a whole panel where he's like, I have Dino Nuggies! And it's all colored and cute and adorable. And then at the $45 tier, you get everything in the previous tiers and a little Hank keychain, a little chibi Hank keychain. I have a $65 tier, which is a t-shirt that's of Bigfoot and it says Protect the Wildlife. And then at, actually, I think I'm sold out, but I do, yeah, I'm sold out of the two, I have a $200 tier to appear in the comic as a background character. But that looks like it's been sold out, which that's awesome. I wasn't expecting that, but yeah. And everybody who backs it gets their name put in the book if they so choose. So I will have a page dedicated to the backers on Kickstarter. But yeah, I mean, those are the rewards. I try to keep it relatively simple because I these are all things that I've ordered before and I'm familiar with like shipping times and how much it costs. And I didn't want to get too in the weeds with rewards. So yeah, let's try to keep it simple.
Well, it sounds like you have some good choices, some good rewards. I mean, and good levels too, as far as like people that want to be helpful towards the whole project, but maybe can't contribute a whole lot, but would still
right.
like to, you know, do
five
something.
Bucks, you can still read the comic. That's awesome.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
If you just want the comic, then cool. But I mean, the option to even be in it is really cool. So that's a nice, nice little tier.
Yeah. And we do have stretch goals too. I'd have to double check, but I know one of them is a pin. And then the next one is an art book. And the last goal, okay, $200 over is a pin. $800 over goal are art cards. $2,500 over is the George Smith art book. And then $4,000 over goal is full color. I will fully color everything because it's just a black and white comic right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so cool. I'm not sure if we'll meet those, but that's fine. That's why they're stretch goals.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you get some people to sign up. Of course now, but hopefully at SquatchCon, just people meeting you there in person, they'll hopefully be a little bit more inclined to want to help out and sign up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I was thinking of including some more higher tiered rewards. I just wasn't sure quite what I wanted to do yet because I know for a fact if I offered any more of the background characters that it would be kind of a hassle trying to get that together, which is why I limited it to three. But we'll
be the
see.
Second book.
Yeah, I know. There's always the second book. But yeah, I'm super excited to talk to people about it at SquatchCon because it's you know it's local, and I'm hoping I can get people on board and read my love letter to the Olympic Peninsula.
So I'm not going to expect you to know the whole link to the campaign, but we'll make sure that we post it with the episode so people could go check it out. Do you have the date off the top of your head when it ends?
It'll be March 31st.
March 31st. All right. So people will get to hear about it for a couple weeks here. And the campaign kind of overlaps with the next thing we're going to talk about is SquatchCon, which is Thursday, March 21st through the 24th, Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Port Angeles, Washington. What's the name of the venue?
Vern Burton Center.
Vern Burton Center. I know you've been involved in SquatchCon since the inception, what, 3 years ago? It's the third year,
I think. Yes, I believe so. It's kind of crazy to think it's the third year now, but
how did like SquatchCon start and come to grow into what it is now?
Jess, who's the main organizer, she's the one who put everything together and is awesome and fantastic person. She used to be the manager at One of a Kind art gallery, and it was supposed to be kind of like a little pop-up market at first, and we filled the halls of the wharf down on the waterfront, and it exploded to the point we had to move venues. So the second year, we moved to Vern Burton. This is where I got more involved because, like, I vended at the first one, but I wasn't really a part of the organizing. But the second year, I was like, let me get in on this. I'll sponsor. I'll throw money at you. Let's go. So, that's kind of where it came from. It was supposed to be just a little pop-up market, but with the involvement of a variety of local artists and local businesses, it kind of blossomed into a convention that has a decent amount of attendance.
How do you feel it compares, even though, you know, it's a kind of a smaller community, how do you feel it holds up against some of the other conventions in the area, like Grit City or Emerald City or anything?
Well, it's a beautiful area. And I mean, Tacoma's is pretty, but not in the way the Olympic Peninsula is pretty, if you ask me. It's small. Like, I mean, Emerald City kind of feels a little claustrophobic at times with how many people are there. That's one big reason why I couldn't do this year at Emerald City, was I preferred to focus on SquatchCon. And it's just really intimate, and you get to know a lot of local people, and you get to nerd out, and it's an opportunity for vacation for a lot of people because there's so much to do in the area too, like hiking or, you know, water-based stuff. There's water everywhere. Or just, you know, a lot of outdoor activities. So it's cool.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I like how, like you say, it's more intimate, not being overcrowded and, you know, shoulder to shoulder like at Emerald City. There's like no like intimacy, like you say. And also it's a cool getaway, like, mm-hmm. you know, like a vacation. Like people from the city could come out and just basically go out in the woods for a couple days and still do their nerdy stuff and have a good time and
come meet Sasquatch.
And, yeah, meet Sasquatch and maybe some ghosts, the ghosts that George Smith has been looking
absolutely.
For.
Absolutely. Yeah, I am so glad that we have SquatchCon out here, because it's also a great opportunity for the minority, because we're like, we don't have a lot of comic book artists out here. We're such a small little niche in the area, and this gives an opportunity for people who like comics to come together and express themselves and put their work out there, like I am, like with George Smith. I'm really trying to put myself out there and say, hello, I'm here. And I love this area and I love the people. Come read my book.
And that is also, there's not many shops or places to go searching for this kind of art and comics and stuff. So we're kind of bringing it to town. So, you know, not everybody can afford to go to Emerald City Comic Con or make the trip to Tacoma. So it kind of brings that a little piece of that here.
Right.
It's fun. It's safe. It's very family friendly, which is cool.
Yeah, and it's nice that, like, you're not going to have to wait in a really long line to talk to someone. If you find someone at a booth that you are having a good conversation with, you're also not going to be pressured to, like, keep it short. I mean, you probably don't want to talk their head off for too long, but I say that politely, but yeah, it's a little bit more chill convention to where there's a little less pressure, but you can still get a slice of what a convention is all about.
Yeah.
Which is about creative people.
I think for like independent creators, shows like this are better because, like me personally, I've bought more comics or movies or books or something from somebody that I had a chance to talk to for a few minutes.
Absolutely.
And they gave a good impression and they just seem like cool people. This person probably, you know, it's a well-spoken person, unlike me. I'm the opposite of that. This well-spoken person probably can tell a good story, you know what I mean? Or like they're just a nice person. And this art looks cool. I'm gonna give it a shot and support them. Like you,
this is
the convention for that kind of stuff,
right? I really liked the fact that last year, I got to meet a lot of artists that I didn't even know existed in the area, and now like I have a network of people who are like doing the same thing in this little teeny tiny community, and it really creates a sense of community in that way. I forget his name now, but Black Moss Comics, I don't know if you got a chance to talk with him, but he was awesome. He was really, really cool, and he was from Port Gamble, I think. If I'm getting that wrong, I am so sorry, but yeah, it was just cool to see another person super into creating his own comics and seeing that he was really close in the area. And I got a lot of original artwork from a variety of people too, which I'm always excited about. I love original artwork.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so yeah, I'm looking at a list of vendors and artists. I found Black Moss Comics. Paul Richards.
Paul, yes. Paul was awesome.
I missed him last year. I'm gonna have to check him out this year. I feel like the list has grown too since last year.
Yeah.
There's quite a few more.
Is there anything different going on this year that comes to mind that you can mention or that you would like to highlight? Anything different from last year?
Well, our layout is different. Last year we did a whole bunch of events and stuff at Red Lion, but we kind of decided against doing it this year because I think people would prefer to keep everything in one space. So we have a little bit less vendor room in the main area, but I think we've expanded a little bit into the atrium that's in there. And most, like, we have gaming tables in there now. And we have a snack booth that we'll have available there. I'm trying to think of what else. We're still doing some panels, I think. I opted out of panels this year because I'm pushing my comic and that's what I wanted to focus on. But it's for the most part the same. We just a little bit of rearranging and some different workshops and kept it all in one space to keep it convenient.
Is there anything besides, you know, connecting with potential supporters and stuff and followers? Is there anything in particular that you're looking forward to?
Oh, I always love the drink and draw that's down at Studio Bob. And the K-pop, just the dance parties are a whole bunch of fun too. And I believe we're going to be doing the dance party in the gym this time, so we'll have even more room to dance and be crazy. And those are just hanging out with people is just fun at SquatchCon. It's just the fact that I can come together with everyone and nerd out.
Be one with our people.
Yeah.
Indeed.
So the show, it's super affordable, very family friendly. I know we're running out of time here. Because you got to go do some more nerdy stuff.
I know. Got my D&D.
We caught you before D&D night. thank you for taking time, by the way.
Thank you for having me on.
We'll post up links for SquatchCon. That is March 21st through the 24th in Port Angeles, Washington. Hopefully, if you guys are here in the Northwest, even as far as Portland and Spokane, people come out to the peninsula. Especially if you're in Portland, you guys need to get out of Portland because it's wild down there. But yeah. Come up.
Absolutely.
Don't stay up here. Just come up and visit. We don't need.
I got a few friends down there. I'm like, yeah. Come up here just for a little bit. Yeah.
Just come visit.
Just get for a weekend.
Just for a weekend.
Promise there's nobody pooping on the sidewalks or nothing. They're good. There might be, but I don't know.
There might be.
But yeah. I urge people to come out, hang out. Cameron will be there hyping her stuff, selling a lot of original art, and I'm sure you have some older comics and stuff that you'll still have available.
Yeah, actually, book two of my webtoons that I draw for Burnt Out Creative, book two will be available at SquatchCon as well.
Okay. Are you going to be showing off any pages or anything from George Smith?
Yeah, I will have a preview available for people to flip through at the con. So
okay, perfect.
Cool. I
definitely look forward to seeing that.
Yeah.
There's a whole awesome list of vendors. I'm going to dig into the SquatchCon site. Of course, I'll put a link to SquatchCon. I'm going to dig in and I'll put the link. People could go there, and I'm pretty sure the list of vendors is there. And it's shaping up to be a good one, of course.
Yeah.
Steve, yeah, I can email you the program too if you'd like, Steve.
Yeah, do you have the whole program? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be there, you'll be there, and a whole bunch. I see, wow, a lot of vendors. It's probably 70 maybe, at least.
Yeah, it's going to be a packed house.
That sounds like double what there was last year.
Yeah, I forget the number of how many people were there last year. It felt like a lot, but...
did, but it also still felt
still small.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. Nothing compared to Emerald City, or I mean, even Grit City is a little bit bigger.
Grit City is probably just the right size.
Yeah, I'd say it hits to be just comfortable that still.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah, Emerald City is a little too much for me nowadays. But
yeah, sure, same here. Someday. Same yeah. here.
Too much in many ways.
Yes.
Yeah, Jesus. Yeah. I almost went one day, but I didn't want to spend $80 for one day.
Yeah. And
when you like you do that, or you could go to SquatchCon for like a quarter of that price for 4 days. Like, come on now.
Yeah. I mean, you end up paying for parking in a hotel, or, you know, just various things that they try to charge you for in Seattle, which is
they get
wild.
You for everything. Yeah,
I know. It's crazy.
But that being said, SquatchCon, I mentioned it already, the 21st through the 24th. You guys listening, come. If you're in the area, come hang out with us. Come check out her book. She said she'll have a sample you could check out. And let's have some fun at SquatchCon. And I wish you the best of luck. Let's reach that goal.
Yeah, for
George
let's
Smith,
go.
Because I definitely want to see it. Is it going to happen if you hit the goal or not? Or are you going to maybe release digitally or something if not?
I probably will release it digitally. There just won't be any future books after.
Right. From that, yeah.
So, yeah.
Right. Well, cool. Cameron, thank you for hanging out.
Yeah, let's, thanks for having me on, Steve.
Go kick ass in D&D. I've never played D&D, so I don't know how it works.
It's
so
fun. It's a lot of fun.
Kick ass or whatever happens.
I will. Absolutely.
Be victorious.
Yeah, I will. All right. I'll see you at SquatchCon, cool. Right, Steve?
Yes, for sure. See All you right. next week, actually. Thank
see
you.
See ya. Stoked. Bye.
Hey, this is Dr. Gangrene. You're watching the Steve. No, you're not. You're listening to the Steve and Crypto Show right here on whatever network you're on. I don't know what you're on. Don't ask me. I can't see what you're doing, but keep listening. And tune in next week for more cool content on the Steve and Crypto Show.
All right, we are back, and as always, we love all our guests, and it's always cool when we can put on an actual, you know, personal friend, put them on the show and hype them. Cameron's cool people, and
yeah,
definitely glad we finally got her on the show to talk about a really cool project that she's doing, the George Smith comic, which I'm looking forward to seeing. She'll have a sample at the show that people could thumb through and check out. But thanks to her. I look forward to seeing her this weekend. It's been a bit. So with that being said, SquatchCon, we really hope to see you guys there. SquatchConPA.com for details on that. If you are a little too far away from Port Angeles but close to Seattle, I highly encourage going to the Make Believe Seattle Film Festival and checking out Richard and Anastasia Elfman's film Bloody Bridget. Anastasia plays Bridget, the hero or anti-hero of the film, and she does a fucking awesome job. And there's these cool scenes where she transitions from regular Bridget to like the demon vampire, what'd you call him, Valentine vampire. It's cool, man. I fucking like this movie. It's definitely counting down to it being released so I can own it. It's that good. I enjoyed it that much. So thank them again, Richard and Anastasia Elfman, for coming on. Thanks to Camry for coming on and for hyping up SquatchCon with us. Thanks for SquatchCon for inviting us out again. It's always a honor when these shows invite us. And like I said earlier, we have some other shows that we are in talks with or actually invited that we can't announce yet, but really exciting shit. And we will keep you guys posted. Why don't we tell them again where they can support us and where to find us
before we go? Yeah. You can head over to buymeacoffee.com if you would like to help out the show. All contributions there go towards everything that encompasses the show. Like, it helps out with our gear, it helps out with merch, it helps out with getting us to these events that we can't tell you about yet. It helps out with a lot of different things. And we really appreciate everybody who has contributed so far, or if you're thinking about doing so, then thank you in advance. So again, that is buymeacoffee.com/SteveCrypto. And be sure to follow us online on social media at CryptoZoo88 and The Steve Strout. We are on Instagram. We're on X. Steve is on TikTok as well. We have a Facebook group that you are welcome to be a part of. You're welcome to contribute if you have a project that you're working on, especially if it is spooky. Just keep the religion and the politics out, and you're welcome to join us. We have probably close to 900 people in there right now. Well, and I bet they'd love to see over 900. Yeah, we're pushing 1,000. And I bet those people would love to see what you've been working on. So join us, put a little clip in there of your latest project. And if we like what we see, who knows? We might even reach out to you about being on the show. Or if you just have something in mind that you think is so cool and worth talking about, bring it up to us. Like, send us a message directly. Let us see what it is. We might want to chat with you. We might want to promote it. While you're on your phone or your computer or whatever you're using at the time, be sure to give us a review wherever you're listening to this podcast. We really appreciate it. There are a million podcasts out there. Lots of people don't even know about this show or, you know, your friend's favorite podcast. Their friends probably don't even know about it. But you know what helps? A review. Because it's going to help us stand out there a little bit more. It's going to help us get out to people that actually care to listen. So if you would leave a preferably 5-star review, we would thank you. We thank you in advance. We should get to reading some of these reviews on the show at some point. I think we'll do that. So, leave a review, and you might even hear it on the show sometime.
Like you mentioned, there's a lot of places you can review us. Apple, Spotify, Podchaser, or you go Good Pods. Good Pods is a great place because you can listen to the shows there, you can interact there, and you can see rankings where we have remained in the top 10 for a while now.
Last couple months, yeah, we've been just up and down on the top 10, which really feels good. I mean, there, again, lots of shows out there. Every podcast is not listed on Good Pods, but I mean, there's a good chunk of them there. So for us to be in that top 10 amongst them is pretty cool. Yeah. Feels good.
Yeah.
I mean, I get easily discouraged, but when we see the numbers and we see that people are leaving reviews, they're listening,
nominating us for the Rondo Awards, you know, stuff like that.
That just reminds me that people are listening and people do care. And we thank you. We thank all of you guys that are listening and that give us a shot. If you tell your friends about the show, thank you. I know you have friends that are into horror. Not everybody listens to podcasts, but I bet a lot of your friends listen to talk radio. So they might just need a little bit of coaching. And if they say they don't follow podcasts, you can follow them up with that and just say, well, you listen to talk radio, don't you? Or maybe you used to. And just let them know, like, the podcast is just like talk radio, but you can say whatever the fuck
with
you want.
Talk radio with poop jokes and swear words. I mean,
yeah.
So, you mentioned all those ways to support us: buy me a coffee, Patreon, follow us on social media. The best way to support us is to share and spread the word about the show, and that goes the farthest.
That's right. But before we let you guys go, I do want to give a quick shout out to some of our sponsors that we've had recently. Shout out to Expedition Roasters. Go check out their coffee. A lot of wonderful flavors there. Look at their art on Instagram, and you can just, I bet some of the bags that you see will make you want to buy it alone. Just the artwork is that cool. Expedition Roasters, of course, Galactica Retreats. Go check them out.
Actually revamping their whole situation, so they're going to get like bigger and better soon.
Yeah.
Upgraded their equipment and kitchen and stuff. So
I saw that.
Their enterprise, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Really the machine cool. They were using looks like it's going to be upgraded, and it's going to be able to produce a lot more at a time. So. But they have some
Skittles coming.
Oh yeah, they have some great treats there. So but you can just look on Instagram, Galactica Treats, and you can at least see what they have been doing up until now.
One more quick thing I want to add after all the supporting and the merch and stuff. We will be having merch with us at SquatchCon and any other shows we do. We got, you know, the mugs, hats, stickers, pins, and now we have a handful of movies that one or both of us were involved in. So you could get pick up copies of their movies with featuring your third favorite podcasters, and yeah, support us, support indie film, and all that important stuff. So with that being said, I think this is a wrap on episode 140.
Yeah. I was just going to say, in adding to what you said about the films, about the movies, there are a few movies that have been released recently about bears and teddy bears, but only one of them has your third favorite podcast in it, your third favorite podcasters in it.
Yep. There you go. I think that's the perfect way to end this episode. By reminding you to come see us at SquatchCon and buy a copy of Teddy Scare.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not imaginary, and it's not Winnie the Pooh, so.
You know that imaginary is not even about a fucking bear.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Look up reviews and spoilers about it. Apparently it's not about the bear. It's about some other bullshit. But anyways, we're not about that bullshit. We keeps it fucking real. I never want to say that again, but I guess it's...
Yeah, because keeping it real can go wrong.
I guess it's not as bad as a episode ending rhyme, though. So I think it's time to go.
Yeah.
Bye, guys.
Okay. It's not as bad as an episode ending rhyme. So we'll leave you. We'll catch you guys next time. We'll see you. This one's done. We'll see you on episode 141. Peace.